For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome back to the Yardie Friends podcast. This is Allison.
This is Kara.
Today we're going to be talking about digital detoxing. This comes in light of the recent TikTok and Lemonade ban, which, you know, as creators, we couldn't not talk about it. And this is part of our How to Thrive in 2025 series. You're going to be talking about detoxing from your screen time anyway. And we're like, let's just talk about it this week because we have a lot to say.
Yes. So many thoughts, so many emotions with everything. Because if you guys are listening later, TikTok was banned, what, yesterday for like 12 hours? And now we're back. And we fully, I don't know about you, but I fully accepted it was going to be gone. So I'm like, okay, I went through this emotional roller coaster, but now it's back. But like you said, there's a lot of parallels with this whole ban and taking a step back and looking at our habits and how we can be better in the coming year. And I think for a lot of people, screen time is always something that they're trying to reduce. So we're going to talk about our experiences with detoxing from digital indulgences and how we can build some better habits to turn it down a notch for this coming year.
Absolutely. Well, before we get into that conversation, we'll do our usual catch up, share peaks of the week, and then we'll get into it.
Yes. Nothing too crazy over here. It is Martin Luther King Day. So it's a holiday. And it feels like a Sunday. So it feels like I have a fun extra weekend. So my friend Mary, she's in medical school, but she just turned 29. And I hosted her birthday party this weekend. It was very fun. She wanted a theme. And she said like a couple months ago, she was out. She went to Nashville or she was in some city. And she saw a group of friends all dressed up as old ladies. And she was like, that's what I want. So she was like, I want to do a retirement themed birthday party. She's like, because I'm feeling old. And so we all dressed up as like older people and it was very fun. I think, yes, things were bringing in 2025 more themed parties because it is so fun to have like a theme with everybody and look like a collective group when you go out, even if it's not for a birthday, just more theme stuff because it brought a lot of unity. And like when we went out, everyone was cheering for us, even like the older people. I was nervous because I was like, is this going to offend older people? Because in hindsight, like it is just us in the future. Like I was just telling people, oh, we're dressed up as future us. Cause like, that's not offensive. I'm going to look like this in 60 years. Like you can't beat being old. And then that was received well. They're like, oh, okay, yeah. I'm like, yeah. Because they're not like making fun of old people. We're just dressing up as what we're going to look like one day. And people are loving it. So that was so, so fun. And yeah, it was good to see Mary because when you're in medical school, like she was telling me, because we planned this probably like a month ago. And she was like, I just need something to look forward to. It's so hard. She's like really in the thick of it. So it was fun to plan something and be a part of something. Oh, we played bingo. That was like the highlight of the day was because we had like the whole party at my house. And of course, we went out afterwards, but I hosted like a little bingo game. And shout out to my mom. That was my mom's idea because I was telling her, I'm like, I'm having this like retirement theme party, but I feel like I need something. Like, this is a book that I actually really want to read. It's like The Art of Throwing a Party. I'll link it in the show notes. I don't know the exact title because I haven't read it yet, but I was reading some like the synopsis and some of the reviews, and it was talking about how like every party or every event, every conference, like you need an activity or something that like, because think about it, when you go to a party and you're kind of standing around, you're like waiting for like an event. Like there needs to be an event that draws everyone in or like an activity. And that clicked so well. And that's made so much sense for me. And bingo was like that little event that like drew everyone together. Of course, everyone was mingling and like chatting and stuff, but it like drew everyone together, built some more camaraderie. Everyone's trying to get bingo. So yeah, that was my weekend. And also watched like the Rams game. They lost. If anyone else is I'm not even a Rams fan. They played the Eagles, which I'm more of like an Eagles fan, honestly, because all my family's from Philly. But yeah, that was my weekend in St. Louis.
Okay, going back to the birthday party. I love that you also posted, because it was her 29th birthday, that it was like, haha, it's her 92nd birthday.
Yeah,
like numbers. I thought that was very funny. Yeah.
Yes. Okay,
and
yes.
Bingo is definitely so on brand for that. Like I started playing bingo as a kid with my grandparents at the VFW. So that was a good suggestion from your mom.
I know. She really, like, that was, I got so many compliments. Like, loved the bingo. The bingo was the best. And if you won bingo, I had like 8 prizes. I brought scratch off tickets. So if you won bingo, you got a scratch off ticket, which is even more.
Wow, you went for it. I love that. Yes. Yeah.
And if you got blackout, which is all of the cards or all the numbers on your card, then you got the $5 scratch off. It was a coveted prize. But sadly, none of the scratch offs won. I'm like, dang, I bought 8 and not a single one hit. But that's okay. It was still fun. I was like, okay, Missouri Lottery. You guys bankrupt or something? Excuse me. Really rude. But yes. And I guess a little tip. If anyone lives in the U.S., I think most of our listeners, all of the party cities are going bankrupt. So I got all the supplies and the bingo set at Party City. It was $7 for a whole bingo set with all the cards, everything. It was on clearance. And if you need streamers, balloons, anything, it's very, very cheap.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. Party City was my first job. I was 15.
What? That's amazing.
On like, what do you call it? A student driver's license permit. I would work on Saturdays, and I think we opened at 9 a.m. So I would go in at 7 a.m. to do all of the balloon orders, and my fingers would be like raw from like tying literally like hundreds of thousands of balloons because everyone's party would be on Saturday. So I would have to like make all of these balloon bouquets like before their events. That was like my entire freshman year of high school. Every Saturday was spent at Party City.
Oh my gosh. Okay, Alice and Laura Unlocked. Didn't know that one.
Add it to my random job eras. Like there's been so many. But okay, speaking of parties, because I kind of feel like this goes with digital detoxing as well, as like finding more fun things to do in real life. And I think it was July, I shouted it out in an episode that my friend Jessie threw a birthday party for her cat Banjo and like went full send with it. Jessie is the queen of hosting. She's also done like a Super Mario Kart party. I'll link some of her videos. Like it is iconic. And so I was messaging her the other day and I was like, dude, Peach's 10th birthday is on Cinco de Mayo. We have to have like a Cinco de Peaches like mixed party of it being like peach themed, but also like Cinco de Mayo themed with like peach margaritas and cactuses and making it like very festive. Like I feel like that would be absolutely iconic and just so funny, and like dress Peaches up in like a little sombrero and maybe have like a peach pinata. Like whole document for it.
Peach cowboy caviar. Have you ever had cowboy caviar?
No. Okay.
Oh my God, like, am I adding corn, that to the list? Tomatoes. It's like a dip, but you could totally add peaches in it. It'd be so, so good.
And peaches are so yummy. Like it's such a good flavor. And like in May, like that's just such a fun kickoff to summer.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love that. Will this be in Mexico or will this be in Omaha?
I feel like we have to do it at Jessie's in Omaha. Like I was already looking at flights because Mother's Day, I think, is May 11th and my mom's birthday is May 7th. So I was like, maybe I'll just go back for like 10 days and have like 3 parties pretty much. Yeah.
Wait, cute. Oh my God, I love that idea. Yeah, I shout out to Jessie. I agree. She does amazing with like getting people together. And it doesn't have to be so crazy. Like, that sounds like I don't know. I don't even think that's like a big orchestration. Like that's what I love about what Jessie has done. It's like, come over to Mario Kart. But like it gets people to come out and get together. And it's like that event thing. It's like every event needs like kind of a why, or like why are we here? What, not like a why, but like what are we going to do? And that's like, those all answer that question. Even and like pinata, like hitting the pinata, that counts as an activity.
Exactly. And every time we've thrown one at Jessie's, that's why we do it is having that theme, because we're like, I feel like people just not come if we say like, hey, we're going to have people over on Saturday. But if we just pick a theme, like remember the lemon soiree that we had last summer? And then it was like this kind of like girly themed brunch and all of the food was like lemony and we decorated the tablescape with like tons of lemons and it was just so fun. And then I honestly think it makes it easier to plan, because then when you're like, okay, what food, what invites, what do I wear? Like if you have a theme, it helps you direct the planning to something. And then I feel like you have a better turnout because people are like, oh, this is different. Like, I want to do that.
No, 1000%. Like, makes making decisions easier. Okay, another funny thing about the retirement theme party, we got like hard candies and put hard candies out, like Withers, if you know, like those caramels.
Yes.
So like, you're right. Like it did, because I was like, okay, do I need, because her mom was bringing food and her parents came, which was really fun, but her mom was bringing food. So I'm like, okay, I don't need to get much, but like, I feel like I need like a little bowl of candies. And you're right. It was much, much easier. So absolutely love that. Any other fun updates on your end?
I wouldn't really say too many fun updates. I've just had like such a great week. I really feel like I'm thriving in this new year energy. The TikTok ban did force me to spend some time reflecting on how to do things differently with my businesses or like my own brand. And so I feel like I lost a few days of my life having to back up content, but I felt validated when the ban did go through, because I was like, okay, at least it was worth, you know, thinking about all of these things. But the main point for this catch-up section is it forced me to finally launch the loyalty program at 1404 Collective, my secondhand store. I had had a loyalty program at New Wave and it worked great. People loved it. It definitely increased people coming in and how much they would spend. Because I feel like as a customer, when I know I have like a $5 off, like one of my favorite coffee shops in Omaha, it's called Myrtle and Cypress. They have a loyalty program and one of my other favorites, Archetype, doesn't. And I have spent probably easily thousands of dollars, because it was across the street from my apartment for 4 years. And like, I never once got $1 off anything there in 4 years. And I'm like, I come here literally every day. Like, it's just nice to feel appreciated. Whether it doesn't, partially, yes, like the barista's remembering you, but like that monetary reward of like, hey, thank you for noticing. Even if I get a dollar off or like a buy one, get one free black coffee, like anything for them to acknowledge how much you've spent there. Mm-hmm. And so I acknowledge as a small business owner that that's something I've been needing to do at 1404 for a while. But it, with our business structure, because it's consignment and we pay the vendors like such a high percent, I was like, how do we make this work? Because it's going to have to come out of the house. Like if you earn it on your sales as a vendor, but it takes off someone else's, how do I do that in the back end so that one person's not just like losing money? And I was like, you know what, whatever, it'll just all come out of the house, like take it out of my paycheck, it's fine. And yeah, like I said, this was something I needed to get kickstarted for a while. It was just sitting down and figuring out the numbers and then following through. And so I made 3 different tiers and like the point system. And then I also set it up in the back end so that if people had came in previously, like they could claim points for like the all of 2024. And I felt like that was also nice to acknowledge, because if customers were like, what, I literally just spent $200 like in December, like what about that? So I spent so much time going back in and manually adding all of these points to like our most loyal customers.
Wow.
And then it was, long story long, we announced it on Wednesday, and then sales, we had the busiest weekend that we had in the last like month, probably maybe even month and a half from doing that. So it really yielded results. And I think people were like, oh, this is something to look forward to. Like, let me go in and shop and redeem my $5 off or whatever, or try to earn more points. And looping this back to the TikTok ban thing, it made me realize that it's vulnerable as a business to solely depend on social media. Like I do so much, not even just TikTok, but Instagram, Facebook, all of them. And that I really did need to get people's like emails and phone numbers so that if something like that, we never think it's going to happen. I feel like that's the thing. Like when Vine got taken down, we were like, no way, it'll come back. And then when people talked about TikTok ban, it was like, that would never happen. And it's like, well, now it has twice. So I don't see Instagram ever going away, but it's like, why not prepare? And so to have a few thousand customers' emails and phone numbers, like that puts you at such an advantage over someone that has absolutely zero. Like,
yeah,
that is just so, so risky and scary to not be doing that. So that was kind of my week, honestly. It was just like back end stuff.
Okay, yes. Do we want to catch up and talk about our TikTok ban and where we were when it happened? Or should we do Pixel Week and then get into that?
No, tell me where you were. I need to know now.
Where were you when it happened? Yeah, I know. Well, okay. Yeah, I know. Why does that, like, people were treating it like that. Okay, so, like, for reference, again, this is Monday right now, but last week, at the end of the week, I saw people doing the Going Out with a Bang series of answering or doing all these question videos of saying, like, their secrets, or people saying, oh, now that we're all gonna die, here's one final secret, which that's a whole another topic in and of itself, because that made a lot of people mad, which honestly, rightfully so, because some of those were so out of pocket, like people just lying their entire content creator career, which is crazy. But then, okay, at the end of the week, I was like, oh, is this actually happening? And I had people that were 50-50, like some of my friends who work with influencers or work in influencer marketing were like, yeah, we're 70% sure it's happening. Some of them were like, no, my friends that are big influencers are convinced like it is not happening. By Friday, I was like, yeah, this is for sure happening. There's no way. Because I feel like we were messaging and then I got so distracted and totally forgot to message you back. But we were messaging and I was like, I'm pretty sure it's happening. Like, I'm convinced. And Connor was like, no, there's no way. He's like, it's definitely going to come back. So in my head, I had accepted it was going to be banned for like a week and we were going to be back. So I wasn't like so overly worried, but I'm with you. Like, I went through all the emotions of like, okay, it's time to start my YouTube career. Got to pull out the vlogging camera. Got to fix my G7X. It's been broken for 6 months. Need to fix that so I can start vlogging again. But I was excited. I was kind of excited to be a YouTuber. I was like, all right. Because I don't know, Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts are just so weird. I was still going to like post on there, but I was fully ready. I feel like TikTok and the storytelling, the being real on camera is more synonymous to YouTube. So I was ready to make that jump. And then Saturday was when it all went down. Because I think it got banned. Yeah, Saturday night. And I was at the retirement home birthday party all day. I literally wasn't on my phone. And we had left my house around like 6. And we went to the first bar because it was kind of like a bar crawl-ish. Like, we just kind of went around Soulard in St. Louis. And I was at the first bar. I'm like, oh my God, this is going to get banned tonight. I need to beg for Instagram followers. I didn't even get a chance. Like, I've been so busy planning this party. I didn't post anything. And so I quickly like do auto cut on like CapCut, where you just throw a bunch of videos in the app and it like edits something for you. And I auto cut something, literally put a sound on it, put it on TikTok, posted it. And I was like, thank you all. Like, here's our Instagram if you want to keep follow along. App was banned. I literally had that video up for like 10 minutes. App was banned. I'm like, well, I tried. I saw all these people doing giveaways to get people to like go to their YouTube, Instagram. I'm like, I did not do any of that, which again proves your point of like you need to diversify from the get-go. But I also was like, who cares? I don't know. Life goes on. I was like, I'm not going to be a victim because it's happening to everybody. We're all going through it. I really put on my big girl pants. I was like, who cares? Whatever. I know this is income. This is a big deal for me, I guess, but I'm not going to be a victim about it. I'm just going to suck it up and move on with my life. But now we're back. So I'm like, oh my God, the up and down of all of that was just wild.
I know. I now have more mixed feelings about it coming back because I'm like, we just went through all of that. Like, honestly, could you just take it away for like a month or something? So it gives people the time to like, I don't know, decide how they feel about it. Take some time off the apps, decide what creators they do want to refollow, decide as a creator how you want to transition during that. It just felt like a hoax almost. I'm like 12 hours, like it, and on a Saturday night, like it was funny because I was curious to see if it would affect the busyness of the beach party clubs in Tulum, because I'm like, okay, this is a lot of people who care about like posting content. There's so many influencers, content creators here, like people trying to like get footage for social media. So I went for a beach walk past like all of the main clubs right at like 5. And I had seen a TikTok saying that it was going to be banned at 8:30 Central time. So I'm like, okay, we are in our final hours here. Because previously, I think people thought it would happen at like midnight, but it did. It happened like Saturday evening. And it was so reassuring for humanity. Like, the beach was packed. There were so many people living in the moment, playing fetch with their dogs, dancing, having fun. And I was just like, thank God, life goes on. Like, I was going to be so disheartened if all of the beach was like so empty because everyone was like at home, like getting in their final like TikTok hours. So I was, yeah, I don't know. It was very reassuring. That's where I was when it happened.
No, I know. Of course, we're going to get into this, but like, I totally do have mixed feelings because you're so right. Should TikTok be banned for the betterment of society? Honestly, maybe, but I don't know. I feel like we've already made this jump where I feel like it's just going to be replaced with something else. But also, the freedom of speech and the way that we get so much information, not even just politics or world news, or there's just so many things that is so searchable and just so knowledgeable on TikTok that I was just honestly so frustrated. Like, people going through pregnancy, people going through weddings, like planning trips. Like there's just so much information on there that is not anywhere else.
I know.
There's so many gate-kept ideas on TikTok that you were just not going to get. I'm like, this is so frustrating. I'm not going to get any of this elsewhere.
And Instagram's climate is so pleasing the masses. Like, let's take it back to 2020. I literally made one goddamn Instagram story saying, like, I was at the gym during the pandemic and it was, I said something like, we should ask why the parks are closed, like literally national parks where you can connect with nature and there's not like a single person around you for like hundreds of meters. But all of the bars in my town are now making it so I can get alcohol through the drive-through. Are we like not getting...
Or still open.
They're still,
like,
yes.
Like they were all, no, they were all still open.
Yes. So I'm like, I can go like dance at a bar right now, but I can't go to a national park and go for a walk. Like, I was just like, this is confusing. Like, I think we should like ask some questions. And the way people came for me, like canceled me. And now that is literally common knowledge. I barely said anything and people came for me like as if they were like refereeing Instagram. And it's so funny because I feel like that same type of content on TikTok, people are like, duh, we know. Of course, like all of that. And it was just like good, I guess, for me on a personal level to like see all of that normalized. And that never would have happened without TikTok. Like Instagram and Facebook never would have like allowed those conversations. But I was like, I went through so much fucking trauma for like 2 years from like getting canceled in my community because I said like, I think the government is poisoning us with our food and like we should be able to like go to the park. And like... feeling so confused why that was an insane statement to make. And now it's just like common knowledge.
Yeah.
Yes. And so I am thankful that TikTok, because of the free speech thing, allowed those opinions to rise to the top and become more widely accessible, I guess is what I'm going for. And I worry that in the future, without having a platform like TikTok, there's always going to be more things that happen like that. And how are we all supposed to find out if we don't have an app where we can just get that information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I feel like there was just so many pain or frustrations. It was that for sure. I was also just upset for all the small businesses. I'm like, that has been my favorite part. I've said this before, but that has been my favorite part of being a content creator and doing travel or like any recommendations is when a business reaches back out and they say like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. Like we've gotten some business from your post or like just shouting out the small businesses is like what, I don't know. This is my favorite part of TikTok or like getting recommendations and stuff are people that deserve to go viral, quote unquote, not even go viral, but like get people to like, even when I went on my honeymoon in Mallorca, we found like a boat company through TikTok and like they literally said like, oh my God, we've gotten so many people from TikTok. Like thank you to that girl for making a video. It was just like a girl made a video like, oh yeah, we went on this boat in Mallorca. I'm like, that is the beauty of TikTok. It's like the search engine where anyone can be a successful business or like the people that deserve to be successful are finally getting their flowers. They're getting the attention. I'm like, wow, that's just like gone. And you're right. It's all about content for the masses on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about like, send this to your friend who's the funny friend or like when your dog does this. I'm like, okay, this is just, I can't.
No, if I think about Instagram as a website, I'd like it as kind of like a portfolio. Here's what I'm up to. Here's the highlights of my week or a trip or something. But the cringy reels and all of the clickbaity, send this to this person. They're going to be the one to take you on this trip. I'm like, get it off. Like, I'm not here for that. And it's irritating. There's the community, I feel like has become lost from Instagram. And maybe that's a good takeaway from this episode as well, is like we originally got on these apps more, I feel like during the pandemic to connect with people in a time when we couldn't, but then we didn't really let go of that. We became dependent upon the apps for connection, but it's like a fake connection in a way. Like, yes, of course you can. We know each other because of Instagram. We met, but it's like you have to make it real life. Like, mm-hmm. And if you think you have like a relationship with someone just from Instagram, like you have to take it with a grain of salt that's very different than your friends that you have in real life where you can like give them a hug, cry with them, be vulnerable, go make real life memories together. It's very different than the person that you like keyboard with all day.
Instagram Reels is so embarrassing because if you like any video, I literally do not like Reels unless it's like people I know or like people I follow, like fashion, lifestyle content, that's fine. But like those mass, like meme-y Reels, I will never like any of them because it literally shows who likes everything. And I remember back when we had Twitter, it like showed your liked tweets. I always hated that feature. I'm like, I want to be a little bit anonymous. Like I don't need every single person that follows me or can just look at my profile, see every tweet I've ever liked or like every, I don't know. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like that feature. Or even when TikTok, you can turn on your liked TikToks and not a single person I know ever turned that on. I think
no,
everyone has that turn off. Cause I'm like, I don't need everyone knowing what I'm liking.
And on Threads Reels, is the same way.
Reels, is that you said?
Threads. Like if you literally like one thing, it will like put a notification in someone's like Instagram feed. Like your friend found this interesting. It's like, I don't need to know that.
For Reels though, like every single person, like it says like this person like this. I'm like, some of this shit is embarrassing. Like you're publicly telling everyone that you liked this. I'm like, I can't do that. And now there's even a feature at when you're watching a reel at the top, it like has little hearts and people's photos of who liked it. And it shows all my friends that liked it. I'm like, this is too much. I love my anonymity. Is that the word? I like being anonymous on TikTok of just liking stuff. And I would be like actually mortified if I could, if everyone, not even like embarrassing, which is like, can I have a little bit of privacy? So that's my other beef or qualm with Reels. It's like, I don't like stuff because I'm like, everyone's going to be seeing that I liked this. It's just weird.
Well, and I feel like there's a difference between liking it and just being one of the numbers of all of the likes on a post.
Yeah.
And how it says like Kara Kirk and Allison Wedig and whatever. Like it completely outs you, like right with your full name on the post.
Yeah.
Which is different than, which is very different than if it just said, you know, 400 likes and your name was just within those likes. Like someone would have to click and then see the list. Like I'm cool with that.
But it's just like, the way that I can see any video I'm watching, I can see who's liked it. I'm like, I don't need to know this. I don't, especially some of the ones that are embarrassing or like really cringy content or the pranks. That's what it is. That's the one that gets me. Like the very obvious like couples pranks are like super cringy content on TikTok or Reels. But on Reels, I can see who's like commenting or like liking it. I'm like, oh my God, this is too much. Like,
okay, unpacking it, going back to that psychological point of view that I said how Instagram is for the masses. I feel like they do that as a way to show other people like, oh, look, everyone else likes this and you should like it too. So it's like trying to make people have this like unified interest or opinion where I feel like TikTok gives you that anonymity to watch what you want to watch. Like your For You page is your own. It's very different than anyone else's. You get to watch the content, like the content, engage with the content that you enjoy without worrying or wondering if everyone else is also liking the same content.
No, that makes sense. But in my head, my theory is, and why they wanted to ban this TikTok app so bad, I think Meta is just so far behind with data and what they understand about their users. I think it's the media for the masses because they don't know what kind of content people want. So a mass produced video that could, okay, this is about cute dogs. A lot of people have cute dogs. So let's just put this out. Whereas like, cause they don't know what we like and they don't know they don't have as much data on us, which is kind of crazy and creepy. But TikTok, I think is just light years ahead. They cannot keep up with the speed of how personalized TikTok is. I think that's why they banned it because it is a huge threat. Cause clearly we like the personalization. Like I don't want to be seeing mass produced stuff, but I think that's why they push the mass produced stuff because they're so behind with the data that they're like, okay, this relates to the most people right now. We're kind of just putting a blanket to serve everybody. Whereas like TikTok has all these individual pockets.
I completely agree. And I think that that goes to the billionaires in the United States, like wanting to ensure that we shop at the main big stores. We shop on Amazon, Walmart, go to the fast food restaurants, because then it's all that money going to those like main big companies, to where if you can personalize an algorithm really specifically, like when I first opened NewWave, I made like a walkthrough video of like, oh, this is a speakeasy store. And I got like 600,000 views, which then targeted people in in like the entire, well, probably like the few states around Nebraska, but mostly Nebraska, that were able to literally come to the shop, and they would come in and they'd be like, this was like the TikTok shop. Like I saw it on there, whatever, where that money that then like came to a small business now isn't going to the mall. It isn't going to Amazon, and it, yeah, it's killing small businesses. And as you said, those TikToks of promoting this cool boat rental company in Mallorca or this little shop or this smaller brand is helping create that like decentralized economy, which is very good for like the average American people. And that's bad for the billionaires. And I feel like there's this wave coming of people being like, I'm fed up with the top people at the top having all of this money and all of these small businesses across America dying and it being so hard to compete with Amazon and low shipping and 24/7 customer service that like all across the country, small businesses are giving up. People can't do it. Like you cannot compete. You will break yourself when you're going up against these companies that have hundreds of thousands of employees and resources. And when you have then a mass media, social media platforms to then continue that narrative, I feel like they're just so intertwined.
Yeah, I think it was framed as a security risk. And I loved that everyone was going over to Red Note kind of as like a, no, if you think that's a security risk, we'll give you a security risk. Like, screw you guys. Like, no, you can't take, I don't know. It's kind of like taking away, like I said, freedom of speech. Like communist countries ban apps. This is the United States of America. You can't ban apps. Like what's going on? So I think at the end of all, yes, like there's definitely some ulterior motives. Like why did everyone invest in Meta 6 months ago that voted yes to ban it? I don't know. Some fishy stuff. More will come out. I'm sure. I haven't really gotten so deep into the reasonings, but I guess, yeah, moral of the story is that, like you said, you have diverse free platforms. You have to make sure you're doing other things because you're right. We do rely a lot on certain apps.
And that's why I'm even glad that we have the podcast. I was like, wow, if Instagram and Facebook and TikTok and Lemonade all went away, I'm like, thank God we've put 4 years into a podcast where that podcast then goes onto Spotify and Apple. Cause then if Spotify goes down, okay, it's all on Apple and then it's all on our website. And it's also making me realize I need to get my website back up because no one can take your own stuff away from you. And then to finish this thought on my end, I could keep going, but for a digital detox, like no one can take your real life experiences away from you. No one can take those fun themed parties. No one can take your health away from you. No one can take your friendships away from you. Like all of this stuff online is fun and it's a great asset to our life. And it allows us to learn things or connect in ways that we wouldn't be able to. But at the end of the day, what you build and create in real life is way more real. It's way more tangible. It's going to have way more impact on your overall well-being. Like for 1404, we get asked all of the time, how come you don't have online? And I posted this long thing around like Black Friday. I was like, because I don't want to. I could make more money. Yeah. I want you to get up and put on a cute little outfit and go get a cup of coffee for your mental health and come down here and try things on. If you don't want to do that, that's fine. You can order from Depop. There's plenty of options. But like, I want this business to serve as a third place for people where they look forward to getting out of their house, getting off their phone and doing something for their well-being. And I hope that across the country, more people have had realizations with social media and digital dependency on a personal and a business level of just like, okay, how can we learn from this? Even if we still have it, like what can we take away in a positive light and move forward in maybe a more mindful direction? As a retail shop owner, I know how important it is to have a good, reliable POS system. That's why I'm so excited about our sponsor today, Shopify. Shopify has already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source. Track everything across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers both in-line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point of sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/alreadyfriends. That is all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/alreadyfriends to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/alreadyfriends. Thank you again to Shopify for sponsoring the Already Friends podcast.
You guys know we're all about how to thrive in 2025 this year. And if you're ready to optimize your nutrition, Factor is here to help. Factor is a sponsor of the show, and they have chef-made gourmet meals that make eating well easy. They're dietitian approved and ready to heat and eat in 2 minutes. So you can fuel right and feel great no matter what life throws at you. So Factor arrives fresh and fully prepared. It's perfect for any active, busy lifestyle. You can lose up to 8 pounds in 8 weeks with Factor Keto meals, and that is based on a randomized controlled clinical trial with Factor Keto. So results will vary depending on your diet and exercise. With 40 options across 8 dietary preferences on the menu each week, it's easy to pick meals tailored to your goals. Choose from preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, or Keto, and Factor can help you feel your best all day long with wholesome smoothies, breakfast, grab-and-go snacks, and more add-ons. So reach your goals this year with ingredients you can trust and convenience that you cannot beat. I'm telling you guys, the convenience is the biggest factor for me. Factor for Factor. I love that they just ship everything straight to your house. You just pop the meals in your fridge, and then whenever you're ready to go, you just throw in the microwave. It cannot be easier to stick with those wellness goals. Eat smart with Factor. Get started today at factormeals.com/factorpodcast and use the code FACTORPODCAST to get 50% off your first box plus free shipping. That's code FACTORPODCAST at factormeals.com/factorpodcast to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Something I've been diving into and learning more about are hormone disruptors and how there's over 1,000 disruptors daily in our lives. Things in our food, our water, the air we breathe, our clothes, our skincare, all of these things mess up our hormones, and our bodies also go through natural hormonal changes. But with all this, it does not mean that we have to suffer through it. And the good news is that there is a product out there to help. It's called Hormone Harmony, and they are a sponsor of the show. Hormone Harmony is a formula made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. That's why Hormone Harmony is perfect for all women who are struggling with PMS symptoms, menopause symptoms, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep, feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas. Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon, and there's a reason that it has over 30,000 positive reviews, and a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. So if you resonate with any of these symptoms, any of these issues, for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code ALREADYFRIENDS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code ALREADYFRIENDS to get your Hormone Harmony and start to feel more like yourself. Again, Already Friends at happymammoth.com for 15% off. Thanks to Happy Mammoth for sponsoring the show.
I guess getting into peaks of the week, I can say that my peak of the week relates to this. We had the nicest message come through from one of our listeners. Shout out to Hannah. My peak is her message that she sent us. I won't read it, but it was just so positive, and it literally made my day. And she just shouted out why she loves the podcast and how she found us and how it's made a positive impact on her life. And it kind of reiterates what you were saying of building other things on different platforms or building things that you own. Like, we own this podcast fully to our website or wherever we have it. And it's such a nice reminder of why we do what we do. And yeah, it was just really, really uplifting and a nice, such a kind thing to send. It was like a really long message. And thank you, Hannah, for your very kind words.
I echo all that sentiment. It made my whole day when I read it, and literally each line, it was like, this is exactly what we are going for with the podcast. So just validating on many, many levels. Uh-huh. And my peak of the week was finally getting a moped. Oh my God. It was so complicated. You think like, oh, it's just a moped. Like, just go to the store and buy one. There were so many loopholes to go through because I'm not like I still am an American citizen. Like, I'm just here on a tourist visa. So to buy a motorized vehicle in a foreign country when you're not a resident is actually a very complicated process. And the language of those terms or fine print or loopholes being in Spanish, I do not know in Spanish the terminology of things in a legal sense. Like, that is an entirely different wheelhouse. And there was a huge shortage of mopeds because it's high season now. So a lot of the shops that were selling mopeds, all of these scooter rental companies, mopeds, scooters, whatever, same thing, bought them up so that they could, you know, make money off them to the tourists. And there was also a mass helmet shortage in the area.
Oh, no.
And you cannot buy a moped without having a helmet. And so I found the one I wanted, but they wouldn't sell it to me without a helmet. So I had to, like, that just delayed it by a day. If I could go back, you know, hindsight is always 20/20. There's ways that I could have done it, but like, I didn't know this, like getting it licensed in being an insured driver in a foreign country, again, when you're not a resident, very complicated. And to get that situated is beyond life-changing because I was spending so much money on rental cars and rental scooters and taxis and then trying to like overcompensate for it by then walking a bunch. But it's fun to walk when you're going for a walk for health, wellness, mindset. It's not fun to go for a walk to get groceries when it's 85 degrees outside. I could have just bought a less cute one, but because it's high season, even the used ones were like $900. I'm like, well, I'd rather have a brand new one that I know is reliable and good, and it's actually the one I want, but it was harder to get. So I just had to be patient, and I love her. But yeah, that was just so, so, so exciting. And I, like you guys know, I sold my car probably 3 years ago now. Was that 2022? So I haven't had my own transportation in 3 years. I have been renting, Ubering, taxiing for 3 years. I feel like a free woman.
Wow. Okay. I'm happy for you.
Thank you. Listener peaks?
Yes. Okay. Liza said, just got back into TikTok after the ban. LOL. Okay. That totally relates to everything we're saying. Glad that you're back in.
And Laura said, signed up for a hot yoga membership with a good friend to get through winter. We love that. Major Huga vibes.
Jane said, planning a trip to Tulum with my friend visiting. Need advice on best places to stay. Okay. Well, Allison, you have a really fun thing that you're doing. You should promote this.
I feel so embarrassed to plug this about myself. I haven't posted it anywhere, but I've had a booking already to do like a Tulum guide, basically. It's either you can do it by hour or get a discount and do 6 hours. And I just take you around and show you all the cool places. And or you can do a mix if you just want help planning your trip. Like, we could jump on a call and I can tell you the best places or do some of that and in-person stuff. It makes me really happy because maybe some of you know I had an Instagram. I still have it at the Omaha Local. And it gained good traction, but obviously far less people that cared about coming to Omaha. So getting to show people my favorite places and now be in a place like Tulum where people are visiting like literally every single day, there's millions of people in high season, is so fun. It's like if I could do that every single day, just be a Tulum tour guide, like that's my dream. But I'd obviously, you know, we're trying to diversify because I'm not going to be here forever. But that is something I do if you guys are coming.
Oh, and I know that you have the best recommendations and like the best spots. So don't sleep on that, guys.
Thank you. I go somewhere new every single day, sometimes two places. Wow. Yesterday, I went to like maybe 4 or 5 places because I'm like, I want to know every single thing in this town.
Yeah. Oh, so fun.
This is so sweet. Jenny said, realizing I'm falling for someone really great for the first time since my last breakup. Oh, I'm so happy for you because that's really, really hard. And I think that shows how much personal growth that you've had in that time in order to be able to give yourself to someone again like that.
As always, send in your peaks on our Instagram page, Are You Friends Podcast.
Okay, wait, one more really quick fast thing. I have to give you kudos for doing your listener of the week and giving that to those people. So I wanted to shout you out for tying a bow on that, because in our accountability episode, we said we were going to do that. And you did. You messaged all those people, sent them the $10 so they could go grab a coffee or something. And I just wanted to say thank you to anyone in our community who has rated, reviewed, shouted us out on Instagram, followed us on TikTok, any of the things. And then here are 10 names. You can read them if you want, because you picked them, of people that have shown us some extra love.
So these were some of those people that were those final winners of that promotion. And then hopefully in the future, we have a new promotion conversation coming up. Alina, Kat, Jillian, Sarah, Hannah, Mac, Madeline, Bailey, Tay, and another Mac. So you guys all know who you are. We sent you messages and thank you again for being here. Thanks for rating, reviewing, supporting the show. It means the world to us.
Amazing. So, digital detox. I wanted to start this section of the episode off by reading some shocking statistics because I feel like we all kind of know we're doing too much screen time or that we're getting bombarded with TV, phone, laptop, like it's everywhere. But I made a bulleted list, Kara, if you want to take it away, by reading some of those because these are shocking. Like, let them marinate in.
Yes. So as of 2024, the average screen time is approximately 6 hours and 40 minutes per day. The average American checks their phone 144 times a day. 71% of individuals spend more time on their phones than with their romantic partners. And approximately 50% of Americans acknowledge being addicted to their smartphones.
The one that 71% of individuals spend more time on their phones than with their romantic partners is heartbreaking. Like, that's where I feel like we have tipped the scale. And I'm going to share this video in the show notes to link to how people spent their time in a day over the last like 50 years. It had all the categories, basically the eight dimensions of wellness. So, you know, like family, friends, church, work, whatever. And the graph just kept going and going and going of screen time and all of the other ones, church, community, gym, family, friends, just turned into tiny little bars. And I think when you can look at the data like that from a completely detached emotional space of just being like, damn, like this is kind of bad, and self-reflect and being like, yeah, I do spend more time on my phone every day than I guess I'm in Tulum by myself. So I'm not seeing my friends and family daily. But I'm like, yeah, that's true. I'm on my laptop. I'm working, posting content across all the pages. Like, it's bad. Even if I'm multitasking, like on the treadmill and on my phone, I'm like, this is still so much of my life. And
yeah,
I know I have to give myself some grace because it's my work. Like, that's how I'm able to be here, is working remotely. But because of that, like, it just can blur into, it's so easy. You're working on something on your computer and all of a sudden another tab just like opens up, you know?
Yes. And kind of going back to what we talked about previously, there's so many reasons that they do this. They're trying to get those dings in. They're trying to get you back on the apps. They're trying to make your videos go viral. So you get addicted to posting and addicted to the thrill and trying to hit that high all the time. So going back to detoxing, dopamine fasting is kind of one of the new terms, not newer, I guess, but something that is being used more widely. And it's referring to resetting your brain's reward system, which allows you to appreciate simpler pleasures like nature, deep conversations, and hobbies. Because research shows that constant notifications and multitasking degrades cognitive performance by up to 40%, making it harder to focus or retain information. So we know it's bad. Also impacts on mental health. High screen time is linked to anxiety, burnout, overstimulation. And the less screen time is the more time that you can put into yourself.
And not only is it impacting your mental health, but your physical health as well. Like, how many of us look at a screen right up before we're going to bed and like having that blue light, having that stimulation, and then wondering why half the country is like, I have an insomnia. It's like, do you or were you stimulated 2 minutes before you tried closing your eyes? And not only is it impacting your sleep, but it's also impacting your sedentary behavior because on the opposite end, an object in motion stays in motion. But when you're lazy and you're just like sitting and scrolling and melting into the couch, it is way harder to get up and go seize the day, get ready, go do fun things with your friends. When you're like, oh, I'm already at home, I'm already comfy, like I'm warm. But if you just like get up and you get movement in the morning and you stretch and you do something besides check your phone, you journal, you do breath work, meditate, that is going to fill your cup in a different way. And I don't have the statistic for this here, but I know there's one that's like, if checking your phone is one of the first things you do in the day, it makes you way more dependable on that specific type of dopamine, because it's kind of like if you wake up and you had a cigarette, you're going to want way more cigarettes in the day because you already rewarded your body with that specific thing. So it's going to want more of it. Well, if you can start your day not on your phone and do some of those other practices, then you're going to want more of that in your day rather than the phone. And I feel like that is really key in helping move the needle slowly over time. And I think that's really helpful in moving that needle over time away from screen time and more towards your personal growth and those healthy habits.
1000%. I feel like the secret to managing that morning screen time is 1000% in the morning routine. And how you said, making those rules. What's also an issue, of course, how you're saying working on our laptops, doing remote work is, of course, leading to those higher screen times, but also the whole work from home culture that we all got into with COVID. Now it's like, okay, as long as I get my work done, I can do my work whenever. Like, there's no structure. So you have to have extra self-accountability and extra discipline to not sit on the couch and scroll. Because honestly, I could go work out in the morning. And if I wanted to, I could scroll till noon, one, two, as long as I get my work done. And after, no one's going to police me. No one's on top of me. Whereas if you're in an office, you would literally never do that. So there is a lot of discipline in this. And I think, of course, the first step is just being aware. Kind of like you were saying, one of the signs, we made a little list of signs that you might need a digital detox. And one of them is loss of time awareness, where it feels like time just disappears when you're scrolling or on those screen heavy days. The best thing that I've done for myself with the screen time is using the Apple screen time limits. I let myself have an hour with TikTok and Instagram combined. So like it should be like 30 minutes. You can split up however you want. You can do 55 minutes on TikTok, 5 minutes on Instagram. But once I hit that hour, it locks out the apps. Then I have to click like 15 minutes more or disable limit for the day, which I try not to do. And that makes it a lot harder for me to just like sit and lose time because I'm like, okay, it'll literally lock the app out for me. And also then if you click 15 more minutes, it like plays it very slowly. It does a whole thing, which really, really helps my brain. So if you have not done that yet and you are having these like terribly long days of screen time, that's gonna be my first tip, is to set the Apple limits on because they help so much.
And a few more signs that you might need a digital detox are difficulty being present. If you're sitting down with someone and you're just constantly thinking like, oh, I need to check my phone, or like, I wonder what's happening in the phone, or I kind of just want to get home and scroll, that's definitely a sign. And then if you find yourself overly comparing yourself to other people, I think a lot of that comes from social media, because most of the time if I see someone in real life and they're hot and healthy and thriving, I'm like, holy shit, I want to be them, but like in a good way. Like it's inspiring, mm-hmm. It's motivating, because I'm also like out in the world. I'm like, okay, I can do this. But when you're like laying in bed and you see someone like thriving and it's like a filter and you're not even getting the full picture, that's just like a very unfair comparison and can send you down a really unhealthy spiral. And then another sign is that you're just overall feeling like a lack of excitement about life. Maybe you're more drained or you feel a little lost. I think that that can happen because on social media, we are presented the limitless possibilities in the world of who you can be, where you can go, who you could date, places to move, jobs to have. And it's almost like it paralyzes you to be like, I don't even know how to move forward, because if I do this, then I can't do that. And then instead of making some progress, you're just like overthinking about what the next step should be. And I feel like that is a downside specifically of screen time, that I don't really feel that way as much in real life. Like if I'm walking down a street, I'm like, oh yeah, there's quite a few good restaurants, but I'm not like paralyzed. Like, oh my God, where am I going to eat? Or like if you're already on a trip enjoying yourself, you're not usually like, oh, well, I'm in Paris and I just really wish I was in Tokyo. Like you're just, you're going to be more present when you're just enjoying your own life. And I think then that energy of gratitude for showing up for yourself in person adds to that chi, it adds to that life force in a way that you just like can't get from the screen.
Yes. And with all of these, I feel like it's all about taking baby steps, because I think we do have to acknowledge, which we have, that unfortunately, this is just the way life is moving. It's so hard. It's like you can't not just work, and our work's on screens. Like there are things that you're going to have to kind of accept with like the whole more screen time and stuff. But I think there are baby steps that you can make of making sure you're not, like, I think there's like a threshold where you can have a healthy relationship with screens, because like we said in our catch up, there's so many possibilities. Your business can blow up from Instagram or TikTok, or you can do so many things. But like you were just saying with these signs, there are ways that it can be bad. And I just want to say with the difficulty being present, I think that is one that everyone can make those small steps with progress of, if you're going out to lunch or dinner or coffee with someone, put your phone away, put it in a bag, tuck it away. Do not have your phone on the table. That's rude. Unless there's an emergency or you're on
call. Like I have gotten lunch with Connor one time, like during the workday, and he was like actually working and he had his phone on the table and like he was answering phone calls. I'm like, okay, this is literally a Tuesday at 1 o'clock, like the most busy day of the week. Like that's fine. But if you're doing that at a leisurely time, like let's make those small steps toward not only are you just indulging a social media addiction or habit, you're also kind of showing disrespect to the person that you're with. Because whatever they're saying, even if you're just checking your phone and check the time, you're signaling to them that whatever they're saying is not interesting to you and you find your phone more interesting.
And when you think about how long those interactions are, you're like, okay, you're probably only grabbing coffee or lunch with someone for like 30 minutes to maybe like an hour and 15 minutes. And if you can't be away from your phone for that amount of time, like I totally get it. I still want to like have an hour on social media a day. It's like, do that in your own time. It's like, we went through this effort, we got ready, we drove, or we transported to this place. And like, you can't give that up for 30 minutes right now to like do it later, to do it another time. Yeah. So I do think it is really disrespectful. And we probably sound like 55-year-olds because that's like, I know when we were younger, my parents were like, no phones at the dinner table. And I was like, you know, in eighth grade. And I'm like, why? And now I'm like, thank God. Like, same. I would never just like be like texting and scrolling at a meal with someone. It's one thing, to like have it turned down and like to check to like if you maybe they get it to go to the bathroom and you got to make sure like things are fine or something. But to just be like actively scrolling on your phone when you're with another person for a short amount of time, I think it's different if you have a significant other that you live with, you know, that you're like with for hours a day. But when you're going to intentionally meet up a loved one for an activity, like having those barriers in place is really important. I remember one, and to think about how disrespectful it is, not just for the person you're with, but if you're in a group setting. One time I went to a yoga class and this girl brought her phone into the yoga class. And as the instructor was like doing, I'd say like the, kind of the pre part, you know, they're like, they're saying the nice message. She's on her phone. I'm like, it's, that's fine if something's going on. Like I'm trying to give you grace. Just step out of the room. Why are you scrolling, sitting crisscross applesauce on your, like, I can't even think about being present because I'm like annoyed at this person for doing that, which was like a test for me. But yeah, all in all, I think boundaries about either places you don't take the phones or times is a good first step.
I can think of many times where I was in a workout class where someone got on their phone and I was just totally sucked out. I'm so frustrated with them, but you're right. It is like a test of its own because that is part of meditation, like acknowledging something and not letting it bother you. But still, some places are sacred spaces or just spaces of a common acceptance of like a phone-free space. Or I can think of a time, all of us can, where you're sitting and talking to someone and then they check their phone and it totally ruins the flow of the conversation. The conversation just stops because now you're like, oh, back to phantom life, what you said, what's going on in the cloud, what's going on with my connections. Like you totally take yourself out of the present moment. So I guess like my point with that was just make it a small change that when I'm being present with people, I'm not going to check my phone while they're talking or, you know, maybe check the time with a watch or with a clock or something.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Some of these other small things you can do, turning your screen red when it's dark. There's that hack that went viral. We can link it in the show notes as well of the triple click. I think it's the triple or quadruple. Okay, mine's three.
I think triple. Yeah.
Yeah, the triple click where you make your phone screen red. I kind of forget to use this one. The one trick that I do, I have my phone on automatic night shift. So from 10 a.m. or I guess 6 p.m. to 10 a.m., it goes on like the warm lighting. So you can set that so that you're not getting too much blue light. It automatically changes for me.
But yeah, that changing your screen to like the really red hue is also really good for counteracting that blue light, because like you said, it's a huge issue for sleeping. Another coloring screen tip that I always forget about, but I just saw it this morning, is make sure to turn your phone. If you're really feeling like anxious or you are getting too much scrolling time, put your phone on grayscale mode, and that totally takes away that hit. It's like the lottery or the slot machine trick that the phones do. They make things extra colorful. They make the lights really bright to trigger those parts of your brain that get excited. So if you put your phone in grayscale mode, so there's black and white, it's way less exciting and way less addicting to scroll Instagram or social media. And it reminds me of my Kindle, because I love my Kindle, but I'm not like addicted to my Kindle. It's also paper looking, but it's in black and white. It's in grayscale. I'm like, oh, that's probably part of it. Like if this was in color, maybe this would be like a little addicting or something. I don't know.
Along those same lines, probably 2019, I think it was, I made the app covers for my phone. So on my home screen, there are no red notifications, and I live on D&D. Probably under no circumstance am I ever not on Do Not Disturb. I am on it 24/7, because having to work on my phone, to me, that's like the same as if I'm working and someone's just like barging into my office like all day long, the notifications, like I can't have that. This needs to be a creative space on my phone. So I'm like, okay, how do I do that? Do Not Disturb all the time. And when I'm ready to look at notifications, then I can pull down from the top and check stuff. And I'll just like go, you know, go through Slack, make sure there's no messages that I missed there, go through my emails. But then I'm doing it when I'm in a mental space where I'm available to check those notifications, in the same way that you don't just like wind up at a party. You like get ready, you mentally prepare yourself, you get into the mood before you have all that social stimulation. I have to do the same thing with notifications on my phone. Like I'm not always ready to receive all of that intensity, especially in the morning or especially while I'm working. And if you don't know what I'm talking about with the app covers, go to Pinterest and type like iPhone app covers. There's so many different designs. I had made some back in the day. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I'd made like pastel colored ones, black and white colored ones, and it makes your phone look so much more aesthetically pleasing too, which I think would help prevent that lottery effect of all the crazy colors to just being like, oh, this is like decorating my living room almost. Like if you're spending 6 hours on your phone, you would want it to look nice and be an environment which makes you feel good, in the same way that if you're spending 6 hours in your living room or your kitchen, you would decorate it to look nice. So I really recommend making your home screen organized and pretty and limiting notifications if you don't want them. And you do not have to feel bad about it. Like I want people to see Allison's notifications are silent.
Anything where we go back to our roots of what people used to do is very helpful. Getting a real alarm clock, having a physical calendar, using a noise machine, reading physical books. I'm trying to think what else. I think we just put everything into this one device that does everything, but that has just made us so reliant on these. And kind of how we're talking about in our goal setting and vision setting episode, it's too much. Like I don't want to do every single thing on my phone. It just is adding and adding to that screen time, which we're trying to get away from. So how can you assess what you're doing on your phone? Like it wants us to journal on our phones. It's like, I get a notification sometimes like, write your journal prompt for today. It's like, what? No, we don't need to add more things to the phone. So how can we go back to those roots? I think is a really good tip.
I agree. I love that one, because then if you do try to have phone boundaries by keeping your phone in the other room, if then you're like, oh, I want a journal. Oh, it's on my phone. Oh, I need to set an alarm. Oh, it's on my phone. Oh, I need to check my calendar. Oh, it's on my phone. If everything is in the phone, then it's going to be really hard to actually have a boundary, because you're going to like need access to it all the time. Versus if you can have stuff in multiple places, even having things on my laptop feels so different than scrolling on my phone.
Yeah.
Like I feel 1,000%. Like I'm completely productive on my laptop. Like I'm never just really mindlessly doing stuff on my laptop, you know, like I'm working or making something with purpose. But the phone, it's so convenient that it's very easy to just end up in Narnia on your phone. You're like, how did I get here?
1,000%. A few other notes that we wrote down: digital minimalism, be intentional when you're using apps and try to only keep tools that add value, declutter your digital space, delete apps, or even like take a break from apps. Like if you need to get off TikTok, Instagram, delete it, go away, step away for a little bit. I love the idea of a phone-free day. How can we incorporate phone-free days into our weeks, months? Can you do like once a month where you intentionally put your phone in a drawer and do not use it for the entire day and try to use a map or go on your laptop and if you need to figure out how to get somewhere, can you just cook and make meals or go hang out with friends? Like, I think we think sometimes that we need our phones all the time, but we really don't. People were surviving many, many years before the phones came around. We don't need it for a whole day. And then at the end of the day, can you journal and see how you felt, what you can take from that experience and what you learned? Any other thoughts?
Yeah, I've done a few of those phone-free days or completely turning it off for 24 to 48 hours a couple of times this year. And I could see that causing a little bit of anxiety at the beginning of worrying if something is happening or whatever. If that's you, I think start in the small chunks of just having the boundaries in your own house so that then if something does happen, you're like, oh, I can just go grab it if I'm like really that worried about checking something or making sure this person's okay. And then you can build up to like going for a phone-free walk. Then you can build up to like running errands. Like, this is so embarrassing that this feels empowering. But when I leave my phone at home and like go to a restaurant or go just for a run or do a couple of errands, even if it's only 20 minutes, 45 minutes, I feel so free. I like always feel like I'm forgetting something. Like when I'm doing that, I'm like, am I like, what am I missing? And I'm like, I left my phone at home. And like, it's so freeing because then you can just be in the present moment because then you're like, well, if you're by yourself and you have your phone, then you're like inviting other things in essentially. But if you just have yourself and you're like gonna go grab a coffee or something, you're like, I am forced to now look at my surroundings, pay attention. And this is, in summary, like how you said the maps thing, to be more independent and to do more things alone, I feel like is having that comfort and familiarity and trust in yourself to navigate around. And if solo travel is high on your list, getting comfortable with directions is like the biggest part. There's pretty much nowhere in Omaha or Tulum that I could end up or and not find my way home. Like I know the streets, I know my directions, and that is what then allows those phone-free errands to be fun and enjoyable because I'm not thinking like, oh my God, I'm lost. I'm like, oh, this is great. I can just observe around me and be present with whatever's happening. And yeah, I really also want to say that I hope this doesn't come across as preachy. I'm like feeling very passionate about this because of how much time I spend on my phone with work and how much I see this, especially in kids. Like, I really don't think that this is as bad for people over 25 because we had a life without phones. It's mostly the younger generation that I really worry about because I think back to my childhood and I'm like, why was my childhood so magical? Oh, we went to the park. We didn't have phones. We like played games. We threw water balloons. Like, those things were amazing and so fun. And I look back on my childhood with just so much like love for all of the things we got to do as kids and crafts and Girl Scouts and things like that. And I just hope that the next generations of kids, or if you guys are at the parent stage where you're raising kids, that you have the like discipline, I guess, to not give your kid a phone too young. Like, they're going to fight you for it. Like, one of my friends that has like a 2.5-year-old, she knows what the phone is. Like, she wants the phone. And like, my friend is so good about being like, we're playing games. Like, you're not looking at the phone. Like, and then, you know, the kid cries and is like, I want the phone. Like, you don't want your kid to be an iPad kid. And that's just so scary how much of your real life you're giving up. Like, there's nothing that amazing in the phone that you need to spend that much time. Like, it just breaks my heart.
I feel like even the most amazing thing in the phone cannot even be 50% of what the most amazing thing in real life is. I feel like we need to remind ourselves that. And I would love to do an episode kind of related to that with friendships of what's a good percentage of your friendships should be IRL in real life versus like managing those remote and long distance friendships, because we have totally moved to a day and age where like it's totally fine if all your friends live in different cities. And but I do not think that you should be filling 100% of your friendship pool with people who don't live by you, because I feel like it goes back to how much satisfaction you're getting out of it and like how lonely you feel and like what is the right percentage or what's the right percentage to expect someone to keep up with you. So I don't know, but it definitely relates to that. And if you are in the process of getting your screen time down, just know that you don't deserve to have every single moment of the day filled with something. And like, boredom is a part of life. I feel like we've like lost that part of our experience of lives, of thinking that every single thing needs to be filled with something, but it doesn't.
No. And It's not even like it's framed as boredom in our society because that's beneficial for, you know, that agenda. Because on the flip side, boredom in a positive light is meditation. It's stillness. It's existing off your phone. It's being in nature. It's doing yoga. It's just sitting and reading a poetry book. It's crocheting with your hands. Like that is perceived as boredom because they want it to be that way, you know? Like, and so it's almost like to be rebellious in our day and age is to just like you said, go back to our roots and do things the good old fashioned way. And it, I don't know, it just kind of feels like you're like sticking it to the government a little bit to like cook your own food and have hobbies in real life and have community in real life and read physical books and do hobbies and crafts. Like, I don't know, I'm like getting lit up because it's like connecting to your inner child.
1000%. Well, we'll leave some more tips, resources in the show notes. I have a few apps that I found that can kind of help gamify getting off your screen. My favorite app in college, did you ever use Pocket Points? I loved Pocket Points. You basically, if you were in the library, it kind of, I don't know what kind of data they were mining, but it knew which buildings you were in. And if you were in the library and if you closed your phone and did not open it, it would time how long your phone was closed. So I'd have a phone closed for 3-4 hours and then you'd get points and then you'd get free food or free coupons at all these different businesses, like a free salad, free sandwich, free everything. Like all these different businesses partnered. I'm like, oh, why is there not an adult version of Pocket Points? I loved that app. I would be off my phone for like 5 hours. I would just let it run and be hanging out with my friends or, I don't know, walking around campus. I'm like, that was just so brilliant. So I kind of try to find some alternatives for that because that was super effective for getting me off my phone. But yeah, I think this is a really great conversation, especially as we know how the future is going. It's just going to be getting worse and worse and worse. So if we can get in tune with ourselves, kind of just bring awareness to our habits and find different things that we can do, different hobbies or spending time with friends, different ways that we can, I don't know, change up these habits, I think that will help us thrive in the coming year.
I couldn't agree more. I think you said all of that so well. When you're focusing on getting rid of something, that can be really hard because you're just thinking about not doing it, which then makes you think about doing it. And I think another strategy or mindset shift you could make is just focusing on doing more of that other stuff. If you are naturally spending more time with friends in real life, if you're naturally doing your hobbies and journaling and going to the gym and stuff like that, you're just, as a result, going to spend less time on your phone. That's going to be the byproduct. And I think for me that was what worked the best over the last year, was just being like, I'm just going to show up more for myself in real life. And then it slowly made me care less and less about what's happening in my phone and care less and less about being available for people, because that was something I struggled with so much. Kara knows, like if she used to reach out about something for the podcast, like I felt like I had to reply then. And so for my own mental health, turning off notifications was literally life-changing for my fight or flight, because I just felt like so many moments of my life were ruined because I thought that I had to reply to people right away. And giving myself permission to enjoy my life first and then get to other people second. There's that quote that's like, your ask is not my emergency. It's not. Like, you are in charge of your own life. You get your own life first. And I hope you know that.
I love that so much. Thank you guys for being here for our second How to Thrive in 2025 series episode. We will catch you guys on the next one.
Bye.
Bye.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.